let's make a note to discuss what we do with that recording at some other stage. Hearing no plea for a discussion about who we all are, let's move to the next item, which is about our meeting arrangements. And I think we have two aspects to that. The first one is the face-to-face meeting that we've got a doodle poll on, and I think we should follow that by making an estimate at this stage, and we won't be able to finish that until we've got a work plan organised, what other face-to-face meetings we want to have in a schedule. And the other one is conference calls. And perhaps even earlier, perhaps jump to something even earlier, Yanis and I have agreed to sort of to co-chair this call. One of the things we need to do is organise a chair. I don't want to do that, and I don't think it's right that I do that, but with your permission, Yanis and I will help steer this first meeting through until we can arrange for a chair to take over. Is that acceptable?
Yes.
I think it's fine for the conference call. I think the election of a chair for the review team, that should be something that we should be doing when we meet face-to-face.
Yes, I agree,
Cheryl. Sorry, staff here. We are minuting the meeting. Can anybody announce himself or herself when intervening, please?
Yep.
Okay, back to Peter. Thanks. Let's carry on. And what can we? Let's begin with the doodle poll exercise that Alice has been running, and has recently reported three dates as being the best for that. And they are Monday 3-4, Tuesday 4-5, or Wednesday 5-6. Yanis has a problem with the first two of those. So it looks as if the majority opinion would be for the Wednesday the 5th and Thursday the 6th. Does anybody, and we're waiting to hear from Zhang, about visa issues, but I guess we won't know that until a little bit more time has passed. Where do people stand with a meeting in Los Angeles on the 5th and 6th?
Fine with me, Fabio.
Thank you, Fabio. Can you let me know, the people who have a problem with that speak up might be easier given that we've done the doodle poll. Well, it sounds as if we should, Yanis, you've got a problem getting there. You'll be busy until the night before. But I gather from what you just said, you can do that Wednesday the 5th and Thursday the 6th?
Yes, Yanis here. I will take a plane on 5th in the morning, and I will arrive in L.A. at 1:30, and I will join you then at 3 o'clock in the afternoon on 5th.
Okay, so we'll get a day and a half out of you, which will be excellent.
But this is Fabio speaking. This is good news. That means that Yanis will be on the team, because I had my impression was that he was replaced by Manal.
Yeah, no,
but if he can be on the team, that's fine with me. It's good news.
No, the only point is that the first face-to-face meeting we discussed with Peter would be good in presence of selectors. So, and after that, I would step down and would let Manal do, but Manal also would be present in the first meeting. So that's the only reason of my presence in Los Angeles, if that's
okay.
I didn't speak from it.
Okay, that's that meeting.
Can I ask a question? It seems that we agree on the 5th and the 6th, but that means that we shall be starting meeting in the morning of the 5th, so that we are expected to arrive in Los Angeles the evening of the 4th. I think I would be in favor, so that we would have the whole day of the 5th and at least half a day on the 6th, if not the whole day.
Agreed. I think that's what we're talking about, and if that means you have to get in... So the meeting will start at 8:30 or 9 o'clock on Wednesday. And
okay.
That means if you have to arrive the day before, that's right. I wonder, is it too early to talk about future face-to-face meetings? I think it would be quite good if we could get some idea reasonably quickly about how many more of these we might have. we've got a deadline, you know, significant deadline of reporting to deal with. I don't think tonight's the night. Today's the time, but just if we could tie that down reasonably quickly, because it's quite an exercise to go through finding something that everyone's available for. Can we move to teleconferences as well? One of the things we need to do before we finish tonight is get a teleconference schedule for the next few calls. And again, I suppose we'll still fall out of some of the work that we have to do, but just be aware of the need for that.
Peter, this is Becky.
Becky.
I know we had talked about meeting maybe a couple of days before the meeting in Brussels, which makes sense to me. I wonder, though, and I know this may be jumping the gun, whether we want to reserve some space in the ICANN meeting for community input.
Yes, I think both of those things need to be addressed. I think a day, you probably understand, I'm sure others have the same problem. We had a huge burden of work in the days before and at the meeting. I think we could probably fit in some time on a Friday before the ICANN meeting starts, and that worse Saturday. And we could arrange for some time in the ICANN program, perhaps during the public forum, or a public session to do for a report and some Q&A on work to date.
That seems fine. I understand it extends the schedule for everybody, and it's a long week anyway, but since we're all going to be together anyway, seems like we might as well grab some time there.
Yes.
Peter, Cheryl here. I certainly support the idea of either a Friday, Saturday, or which is probably the easiest, I suspect, before our agendas start. I would be one of the few that might be involved in GNSO work group activities during the Saturday, and that's the sort of thing I just would have to juggle. My main commitments start on Sunday, so certainly the Friday, Saturday or Thursday, Friday pre-Brussels would be, I think, a very useful time to spend.
Okay. Marco, could I ask you then to set up a doodle poll just for the few? Why don't we do Thursday, Friday, Saturday, just to give people some choices?
Sure.
Before the ICANN meeting, and if you could also make a note to talk to the chairman about the timetabling so that we can get a two-hour slot somewhere in the program for some reporting and some Q&A.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you, Vicky. Thank you, Cheryl.
Peter, this is Manal.
Yes, Manal.
I noticed you said, I know it's a bit early for discussing other face-to-face meetings, but I just wanted to note that it would be very helpful to even have a plan where the places would be. Is it going to be the U.S. every time or some other places? Because logistics and visas take some time, and it would be more beneficial to know up front, because sometimes you can take the visa multiple entry for a longer time if you have other meetings during the year. I mean,
agreed.
So even if we just have a plan for the places, this would be useful.
Excellent idea.
Thank you.
Let me extend an invitation to New Zealand. I would be very happy to have the work party come to New Zealand at some stage, where I can assure you visas are either not required or very easy to acquire.
But it's winter. It's winter there.
Well,
yeah, it's a nice short trip for me.
I thought everyone would go skiing, and you'd help the New Zealand tourism economy wonderfully by doing it.
Can
okay.
I... Fabio here.
Yes,
can I
Fabio.
I think that in terms of face-to-face meetings, we can't go much further. I think we all agree that there should be a meeting in Brussels, either the Friday or the Saturday, and we will see what the doodle gives. Then I'm sure that we will have another couple of meetings before the end of the year, maybe even three, but we will not be able to decide on them now. This is something that we might discuss when we meet face-to-face. I don't think that now we would be making much more progress.
Agreed. Let's move to the next. The next one is discussion and adoption of the agenda for that face-to-face meeting. I'd like to put that back a little until we've been through some of these other items, because I think the agenda for that meeting will fall out of the other items. We've mentioned the election of the review team chair, and I agree with Fabio's suggestion that that we should do that at the face-to-face meeting. I'm pretty sure it's not going to be Yanis or me standing, but other people will want to stand and introduce themselves and effectively campaign. Some people aren't known to each other, etc. So I think we need a period of time, a short period of time, for that to go through. Does anybody want to do it faster than having it done at the face-to-face meeting in Los Angeles in May?
Peter, may I suggest Yanis here?
Yes, Yanis.
I think that we need somebody who coordinates, from the members of the review team, who coordinates preparation, whether for subsequent conference calls or first face-to-face meeting. And it would be extremely good if we could find a volunteer today amongst the members of the review team who could do this coordination. This would allow you and me be absolutely free from this stuff.
You mean in addition to the staff, to Marco, Alice, yeah, and the Los Angeles ICANN staff?
Yeah, because in the run-up to the meeting, if we will not do anything from now until 5-6 May, we will not complete the task in Los Angeles. So this time should be used to prepare those number of issues which I listed in proposed agenda. And there should be, in my view, somebody who coordinates the thing, and then there should be also volunteers who would take up, prepare on existing basis proposals, and already run through the with the review team members their ideas. But we have some basis for work in Los Angeles.
Fabio here, can I come in on this?
Please do, yes.
I found this idea of Yanis interesting, but I'm not so sure that there is so much a need to coordinate work streams or so much. I think that between now and the first meeting in May, and we shall be discussing in a second what should come out of this meeting in May, I'm sure that each one of the participants will want to send perhaps one or more contributions. And so between now and May, we should be exchanging by emails, papers, ideas in all possible ways. But I don't see the need for anything much more structured than this. And I'm sure that Lorenzoni and the ICANN staff can help us if at one point there was to be the need for an additional conference call or something like this.
This is Becky.
Yes, Becky.
I agree that we will want, you know, all of the members of the team to be providing some thoughts and some papers. But it seems to me it would be a useful activity to have at least a subcommittee kind of taking that, coordinating it, maybe coming up with a straw man of a charter for the team that can be circulated in advance, just so that we have something to work with in terms of finalizing a charter. That's very difficult to do from a white page in 2 days, I think.
This is Brian. Can I get in the queue, Peter?
Yes, you're next, Brian. Go ahead.
Thanks. Yeah, I'd like to pick up both points. I think I agree strongly with Becky and Fabio. I think, can we just focus on the mere coordination of calls for the moment? And in terms of developing an agenda, a charter, let's consider setting up a separate work group to take on that task before May.
Okay, I think we can certainly leave Marco and the staff, if people are happy, to continue coordinating the calls. And I think there should be at least one more between now and May. I think, you know, a weekly call or a fortnightly call is going to be needed, certainly at the beginning, to try and crack some of this. Anyone else want to contribute on this arrangements between now and the May meeting.
Yes, Peter, Cheryl here.
Yes, Cheryl, and then back to Yanis.
Thank you very much. Just picking up on Becky's point, I like the concept of a subcommittee, and I think if just one of us from each of the subsets of ICANN that we represent can put our hand up, knowing that for Louis and I, that does narrow the field somewhat. Sorry, Louis, you can kick me later. But I think it is important for the wider community, for at least in this sort of interim period, for it to appear that there is a work group that is steering the agenda in a fair, equitable, transparent, accountable manner. In terms of meetings, in terms of teleconferences, I actually think, you know, little and often is a very good way forward. I would rather have a scheduled, even weekly meeting where I turn up and 20 minutes later we're finished than I would having them 3 or 4 weeks apart, perhaps even in a more ad hoc system, and ending up in 90-minute and 2-hour-plus commitments. It's certainly, you know, having a standard band across my diary that says I'm committing this time for this activity, and if less time is taken, I can always fill my available space.
Mm.
Thanks, Peter.
Fabio, can I make a comment?
Well, I've got Yanis first, I think. Or was it?
Yeah, thank you, Peter. I stand behind my proposal because my personal experience shows that if there is no coordinator, whether of the whole team or individual subjects, these contributions which people will make will not arrive in a consent manner to the table at the face-to-face meeting. So whether we call it subcommittees or we call it stream leaders or whatever, it doesn't make much difference. But what we need to do, we need to, first of all, somebody who takes initiative to propose a methodology and timetable of work. Then we need somebody who would try to draft for terms of reference. Then we need somebody who would start thinking, and that would be one, two, or all indicators of performance and so on. So if there won't be anybody who will really push and would keep eye on these questions, we will arrive in Los Angeles with many ideas but nothing concrete. So that's why I insist that there should be somebody volunteer who takes one or other issue today and volunteers to have a kind of leadership role.
Well,
okay. Can I?
Fabio, come back to you.
Yes. Yanis, in his agenda, had rightly put this item at the end, because this really depends from what you want to do. Now, at a very high level, my impression is that in May, we have to discuss among ourselves what the problem is. In other words, we have to give more flesh to the language that it is already in the affirmation of commitments. I think in May, we should also be hearing from ICANN, from the staff of ICANN, their own views on what they have been doing in recent years in this direction, to which extent it is justified from their point of view having a special review team on accountability. Then, on the basis of this discussion in May, we might come to a sort of preliminary idea of what the problem might be. We should be consulting between May and June with the wider community. On the basis of the consultation, we would talk again to the staff of ICANN and we would write our recommendations. At this moment, I do not see how we can start a work stream on either the terms of reference or the indicators of performance or anything like this, because I would say at this moment I don't really see what should the indicators of performance should be. I think we need a fundamental discussion in May about exactly the methodology that would be followed by the review team. And once we are agreed on the methodology, you can identify the work streams, you can find somebody who coordinates, and so on.
Peter, Willie here.
Yes, Willie, please help.
I think there's a way of doing both, of allowing discretion around the decisions in May, but I would support Yanis in getting something going in the meantime. For example, on the issue of identifying methodology, I would think a small group working on that could build on what the staff discussion paper has put together and have something to present for consideration at the May meeting. For example, the issue of, okay, if we're not doing a traditional evaluation, then, you know, what is the emphasis between participatory and empowerment evaluation that the staff discussion paper put forward, and how would that work? What is the difference? How much is reliant on an external evaluator? How much is up to the work of the team and the community? And I think we could go through each of these issues, such as the next one he has here, identification of external support. I would think it would be very useful to have a terms of reference for the external evaluator before us in May, and the team working on that would be useful. And similarly with the terms of reference, there is a draft in the staff discussion paper which perhaps could be worked on and fleshed out a bit more. Where I would agree with Fabio is that indicators of performance might be tricky. But I think we could at least have three teams preparing, helping to prepare for the May meeting.
Well, look, can I suggest a way forward? Each time we've talked about this, we've picked up a different element of the topics that follow. Let's work through those topics and get some idea of a collective agreement about where we're going. And I think what may fall from that at the end of each topic or at the end of all of the topics will be a clearer view as to what we need to have done by the May meeting, and we may all come back and agree with Yanis that there's a lot to be done, and we need to put some people onto this sort of straight away. Just as a mention, I am talking to the CEO about this, in terms of logistics, and if you just bear in mind that to make this really useful, about a week at least. Preferably 2 weeks, but if necessary, only a week in advance of that meeting. If we could have a series of questions ready for staff about what questions we have about the areas of activity that we want them to report on, or introduce, or discuss, or provide materials on, they can then have stuff ready for us when we get there. So we really have, if we're going to make that May meeting useful, we need to get that sort of thinking underway right now. So can we move into the first one, which is the election of the review team chair, and we cover that briefly. Can we leave that? Can we have some kind of a process with an election at the meeting itself? Have we agreed on that?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Can we move then to identification of the methodology of work and its timetable? How do we do that, and how do we do a timetable for it?
Fabio. Can I would like to take up the proposal of Yanis on this. Maybe this is an item on which we can gain some ground compared with May, and we can start exchanging documents by email, and we can even identify the volunteer who could coordinate the circulation of the document, the integration of the document, so that we don't start from scratch in May. But this, I think, is the fundamental issue, the methodology, and the methodology is obviously linked to the question of what do we believe is the problem that we are trying to address.
All right, so what do you suggest we do?
Well, I think that this is the typical case where I would suggest that everybody circulates to all other members his or own views of what the process should be. And then here it would be useful if somebody would step in and say, after 10 days, let's see what has come in, identify some common trends, and relaunch the discussion so that we can discuss by email as much as possible between now and May.
Okay, so somebody acting as a rapporteur of that particular debate.
Yep.
Olivier?
Yes, Olivier.
Olivier, yes, yes. Yes, we are talking about writing things, but I think before to write anything, I think it would be important that we share information about background material that's available on the subject. But I think there is quite some background material already issued by ICANN or reports committed by ICANN, and if we can share all this information between the group, I think that for me it would be very useful at least.
Agreed. I don't think that's a separate process, though, Olivier, with respect. I think
yes.
we can share data and share ideas all at the same time.
Yes.
That would be a good way. I agree. If we've got information sources, we should share them. Okay, so let's start that process, and let's take Fabio's suggestion, and after 10 days, let's see if there's a rapporteur that emerges from that, ready to synthesize that discussion and take it forward. What about the identification of support, internal and external support staff? Let me just be clear about the ICANN staff position on this. They are very keen to help, but they are also very keen to for this to be an independent, objective exercise. So staff are standing by, waiting to be told effectively how the committee wants to do this. So thoughts from the committee on staffing.
Peter, this is Brian.
Yes, Brian.
Yes, I think this is one of the points that's going to be very important at the end of the exercise, whatever our recommendations are, in terms of the independence of the group and the transparency of our work. I think at this moment, my opinion would be that we have complete latitude in terms of engaging or using third parties with regard to review principles or frameworks or terms of reference at this moment in time. And that ICANN staff be utilized on a as-needed basis by the group.
Well, Brian, let's assume that you do have that complete latitude because no one wants to challenge that. What? How do you propose to exercise that latitude?
Well, I think in listening to the prior discussion, I think my inclination is that it's better that we start some ideas flowing before May. So that if there are, for example, in the staff report, there was a suggestion of types of methodologies of reviewing the work of boards. I think we need to have open suggestions between now and the 10th about the use of third parties, whether it be auditors, whether it be other types of experts in this area, and see where we come out as a matter of group thinking on the 10th.
Can I just separate that last point out from the present one? I think we're talking, well, I'm hoping to talk at this stage really about administrative support. I think we're talking about sort of basic staff support, which might include report writing and collating, et cetera. And I'm distinguishing that from the expert support we might need. The selectors actually have the power to select independent experts and add them to the team. And Giannis, if I can speak for you, we've agreed that we're going to wait until the committee tells us what expertise it requires, and then we'll consult, and then we'll go and appoint the independent experts. So that's, can we separate that exercise out from, if you like, the minute-taking, call organizing, researching and report writing, editing, etc. function? How do you want to do the admin support for this group?
Peter?
This
is Becky.
Becky? Yes, Becky.
I would like to separate out report writing from administrative because that does not strike me as an administrative task. In terms of coordinating calls and, you know, those sorts of things, I just think that in what I have heard from many, many people is that independence is a critical issue for the group.
Yes, agreed.
Fabio.
Can I? And what do people think we should do? I think we're fairly clear on general principles. I'm looking for some concrete suggestions, which is, you know,
can
go out the tender and appoint some staff, or are we going to happy to use the ICANN staff?
I think it all depends on what will be the methodology that we shall agree in May, because there are certain types of methodology, certain views that would not lead to an enormous amount of work. I can see, if I think of what I have in mind now, a lot of work to be done to go through the responses to the public consultation. That could be quite work intensive. But the writing of the final report probably will not require any external help at all. But I think this will have to be decided in May.
Okay, anyone else want to comment on administrative staff support?
Peter, this is Brian.
Yes, Brian.
Thanks for the clarification. I guess then a simple question is, what do we have in terms of resources if we were to get external staff to help with the scribing and the collation of the work of the group?
Well, I don't think any of this is budgeted, but I think we can make arrangements to deal with anything that's reasonable would be the sort of the high-level answer.
Yeah. If I can follow on, my gut is that I would hope that there would be at least a handful of representatives on the review team that would be willing to dedicate personal time to that work. If we decide to do that, I would raise my hand for that.
Oh, this is Larry Strickling. I'm not sure how people feel about it, but I am happy to offer up our resources to provide some of the administrative support if people would like that to come from us. I'd certainly understand if people prefer to not come from us, though, but I do make the offer.
Thank you, Larry. It's appreciated.
Thanks for the offer.
Perhaps we can park that as well and just see, until we know how much there is to do, it would be difficult, for example, at this stage to go out for tender for this because we're not quite sure, as Fabio pointed out, we're not quite sure what the job is. Can we move on then? If people are happy with my description of the external expert support position, in other words, we're waiting to be told by the committee after some kind of discussion process, if we think we need a financial auditor or if we think, whatever we need, we can look at adding them in a different kind of category.
Peter, Willie?
Yes, Willie.
Could I just ask clarification around the an independent evaluator is one thing. There was a suggestion of an independent expert on the review team. Is that still on the cards?
Yes, the AIC actually talks about them being members of the team, but I think that we haven't appointed anybody, and I think as I say, we're waiting to see what it is that the team thinks we need.
Again, this is Larry Strickling. I'll just give you a couple of thoughts from here. One is I would propose that if we do retain a management expert of some sort, it would be somebody that the team would retain and not actually put on the team as a member. It seems to me that the membership process was a very open one, a very inclusive one, and the idea that we would now add to that number by adding somebody as a team member strikes me as a little odd given the process we've already followed. But I think the idea of the group considering to retain that expertise makes a lot of sense to me. Related to that, I think the starting point for all of this discussion needs to be the affirmation of commitments. It lays out some very specific areas of review that we are supposed to conduct, and I think we should start with that, and out of that may flow a set of questions that each of us may have about how we go about evaluating those issues, but there's a lot of substance in the affirmation already. And to that end, I do think that we could use some expert help to help us perform that evaluation. I don't think any of us has the time and maybe not even the substantive ability to really understand what makes ICANN tick on a day-to-day basis, but the idea of having someone to provide some sort of an expert review of that strikes me as worthy of consideration.
Thanks, Larry. I agree with both of your points, the sort of the formality of the appointment process and then the need to get those experts in to look at that substance. It worries me that we're looking at quite refined analysis and very few, if any of us, are really competent at that level. Anyone else want to talk about external advisors, external support? Let's again have that on the agenda for May, and if we can take up Larry's suggestion and make sure we've gone through the substance of the AAC and be clear about what the subjects of review are, that will guide that discussion very helpfully.
Yannis, may I?
Yes, Yannis.
Just for the first face-to-face meeting in LA, all administer arrangements like hotel reservations, hotel block reservations, and similar kind of things, that should be done by ICANN staff, since this is on their home turf.
Well, Yanis, I agree with that, but I'd be happy if somebody wanted to take the principle of independence, you know, further and say, no, we don't want them even doing that. But does anybody have any objection to the ICANN staff making travel and hotel and other administrative arrangements like that for the May meeting? Good, okay.
I don't have objection to it. I just would like to offer, if there is a need for it, office and conference space in Los Angeles, which we can provide.
Thank you for that. I'll note that. At the moment, I think there's room at Marina Del Rey for this, but it would obviously be intrusive. We don't want to interfere with ICANN's work by doing the review, or to at least the minimum extent. So it may be that the meeting off-site is actually more useful.
This is Larry, if I could just add. I think we send a very powerful signal to ICANN and to all of the constituents by going on-site with the first meeting, but I certainly share your concern, Peter, that we not be disruptive.
Yes, I think there can be some quite... I'm not sure how many of you have been to the offices. It's quite helpful, I think, to get the scale of the operation in the review team's minds as well. So I think it works in a number of ways well to have at least some, if not all, of the first meeting on-site.
Peter, Cheryl here. I agree with Larry as well, and I think it also is less disruptive when we're talking about the first meeting having a number of interaction points with ICANN staff. You know, dragging them even a small distance around Los Angeles is still, you know, time taken out of their day, and I think it might be seen as less disruptive for that first meeting to be on site.
Okay. Well, it looks like we're going there and we're using the ICANN staff to help us get there and to look after us when we are there. Can we move then to the terms of reference discussion? Does somebody want to lead off a methodology for tackling this topic?
Fabio here.
Yes,
Fabio. In my view, both terms of reference and indicators of performance depend on the methodology that we agree on, as somebody said, on our understanding of the job that needs to be done. They cannot be agreed now.
Mm-hmm. Any other views on that?
Cheryl here, Becky. Sorry, go ahead, Becky. I see to you. I've been busy enough. Go ahead.
I agree they can't be agreed now, but I strongly agree with Yannis that not having some work go into that, both in the form of collecting information and input from the team members and then trying to synthesize that so that there's a discussion paper on the table. It just seems critical to me that we begin that work.
Cheryl. Go ahead, Cheryl.
Thank you. Just picking up on Becky's point, and to some extent going back to what Lawrence was saying earlier, I mean, starting with the AOC and its listing of what needs to be done in terms of subject of review, is it possible for us between now and May to utilise some form of collaborative space, you know, a wiki or whatever, which can be private, it can be read-only, it can be later made as open and transparent as we decide, but just to start fleshing out some draft terms of reference where those of us who have greater energy and input are doing it, but everyone else can also see who's dotting the I's, crossing the T's and changing the tense.
Yes, it seems to me that you're right, the last couple of speakers, and that we could treat this the same way as we're treating the other one, the methodology. If we could deal with that in the same way, let's start an exchange of information and start, you know, sharing some thoughts. And let's give ourselves 10 days or so, and let's see if a rapporteur emerges from that group to take that forward. Okay, let's deal with that. That's 4 and 5. That's both terms of reference and the selection of the indicators, recognizing that all these things are very much prototypes. Conflict of interest policy. We need, this is something that all ICANN entities need, was specifically called for in the GAC submissions on the formation of this group. There are a number. Does anybody disagree that we need to form a conflict of interest policy?
I think it's essential, Peter. This is Cheryl, and I think we should be putting in formal declaration of interest statements with a continuous disclosure rule.
All right, well, rather than discussing it, I think, again, if we can treat that in the same way and have some thought circulated and information done and see if we can't have that sorted out within the next 10 days or so, there are three or four different examples of ICANN conflict of interest policies, and ICANN, if anybody's interested, the board has one, the nominating committee has one, there's a general one, and I think there are a couple of others, including probably one that ALAC has, Cheryl, is there?
Indeed, sir.
Good.
So my suggestion is that we treat that the same way, that we pull those together and try and get synthesize those or adopt an existing one and with necessary modifications. Hearing no dissent on that, can we come to the next thing? I think something we foreshadowed earlier would be some operating rules for the committee, and I'm thinking in terms of the recording and publishing of the recording or publishing a transcript. Clearly it would be ironic if this group didn't operate as a reviewed transparency in a transparent manner. But equally, as Fabio has said, all groups, when they get together and start thinking out loud, need some privacy for that thinking to occur and for the exchange of ideas.
We have
to have some facility for privacy, so some compromise between those.
Yes, I'm talking from experience. In the European Union, we have introduced, somebody has had the brilliant idea of making the discussion of the minister public. The result is that the parts that are public become essentially formal and the discussions are moved to the corridors. So I think there is a part of our discussions that inevitably, if you record everything, if you publish, first of all, a transcript of everything would be an enormous amount of work. My view would not be extremely helpful, and the result would be that, again, we would be doing the substantial conversations during lunches, coffee breaks, and so on.
Toby, I think you're right, and then we've experienced all that and all of its in ways in the ICANN processes as well, starting from the GAC, for example, which began entirely confidentially and has moved out now and does some things in private and some things publicly, as does the board and some of the others. So I think we've got a common view about what's practical and what's necessary here. So let's write those rules down and develop a process so that we can start with. My suggestion is that we do what we've done elsewhere in ICANN, which is that we start with the presumption that a meeting is open, but anyone who wants to can take it into committee for a private discussion relatively easily.
Even ALAC has an option for that, and we live in a goldfish bowl.
Yeah, okay.
Just one comment on this.
Yes, Willie.
What about in those instances where private discussion is needed, that we adopt the Chatham House rule?
Absolutely.
Yep.
Well, okay, that may need to be explained to the non-Anglos, Willie. So in the next 10 days, perhaps you can give an explanation of where people can find that. That's a description of a set of rules which works quite well for maintaining confidence, but then having.
Yep.
So let's move on. Are there any other aspects to sort of operating rules? And we don't want to become too hidebound, in my view. We get into one of these bootstrapping problems. We can't start because we haven't written the rules, but then we can't write the rules because we haven't started. I want to avoid that if we can. Any other topics to the rules?
Can I say something about the participation of the assistants of the review team members?
Yes.
Again, I'm speaking from experience. whenever in the European Union we have had so-called high-level groups with sherpas or assistants participating in the work, the outcome has been that after three meetings, the sherpas and the assistants were meeting alone, and the principals were just showing up at the end of the day to sign off the document. I think I have nothing against presence of assistance where required, but I think it should be clear that the work has to be done by the members of the review team. They should be participating in all meetings possibly, and that we should not be a situation where, let me put it in another way, participation of assistance for me is acceptable, but no replacement. If a member of the review team cannot show up, he or she will not be replaced by an assistant.
Toby, I agree with that, and I've seen much the same kind of thing happening, and we've gone through a lot of trouble to find people to come on this group that for particular skills and various other issues. It'd be a shame to lose that and to have a system that almost encouraged replacement. So I would agree with that. If you could circulate that kind of a note in these early days, I would support that personally.
Yep.
Any other topics that might go into the rules? Again, we don't have to solve all these problems today. But so there's another project that's underway, operating rules.
One, Peter, if I may, Cheryl here. One question which certainly I'll need to put forward on behalf of my at-large community, which is relatively extensive. They would be very interested to know how confidentially we will be working. In other words, if we were to have in-camera activities, is that going to be clearly labelled and they can wonder about that if as needs? There needs to be some sort of process of reporting and reportability on our activities. They're not concerned that we do have in-camera activities, rather than when we do, it is noted.
Yes, let's add that, Cheryl, to the rule creation.
If Mr. Johnson, you may have some comments.
Yes, please.
So for the member of the view team, high-level official or senior executives, for my opinion, during the face-to-face meeting, the membership also deals with other measures. So for my comments is the review process will be tightly scheduled and for the maintenance of working efficiency, it has been commented that the assisting the share will be permitted to assist the member we need it. It's my idea, comments. Thank you.
I'm sorry, Zhang, I didn't get all of that. Could you just summarize that again for me? I'm sorry, there was a lot of noise while you were talking. Could you just say some of that for me again, please?
Excuse me, could you hear me?
So yes, I was going to ask other people if they could they put their phones on mute. It's normally star six. If you could mute your phone when you're not talking, that would be helpful. Thank you. Jang, back to you, please.
Okay. So my comments is a member of review team. Most are high-level officials of senior executives. So I think during the face-to-face meeting, the members should also deal with other matters. So I think in the review process maybe, they will be tightly scheduled and heavily workloaded. So for my comments is, assistant should be permitted to present at the meeting to assist the member when needed. So these are my comments. Thank you.
Thank you. I agree that that we should have assistants present at the meeting to help make sure the work gets done.
Okay.
Thank you for that. Can we
agreed?
Is there an issue of translation for anyone? We obviously try and operate we operate in English. Is there an issue of translation that anybody
maybe
wants to raise?
Between New Zealand and Australia,
raise?
Peter. But
okay. We've dealt with items 1 and 2 on Yanis's list of participation of assistants, identification of the work stream leaders. Can we come back then to the any other business, and then let's go back and review at a high level the whole process between now and the May conference. Is there any other topic that we haven't covered?
Peter, this is Manal. I have a question. Would we have the option of remote participation just in case any of the team members is not able to make it?
I assume we will, yes. Particularly if we're meeting in Marina del Rey, we will have we'd have the facility for video conferencing, I would assume. Certainly audio conferencing.
Peter, Cheryl here from not the face-to-face so much, where if we can get video conferencing for remote, that's fantastic, but very much for the management of what I'm assuming is going to be fairly frequent teleconference calls. Can we use an Adobe Connect room for those of us who do a lot of the policy development work in ICANN? We found the use of that tool an incredibly useful thing, and I'd like to recommend it to this group for consideration.
Yes, that's something that we use extensively, and it works very well. The other question along the similar lines would be a list. Have we got a mail list sorted so we don't have to keep repeating all these email addresses?
And deleting the one that keeps telling me it's no longer valid, which would be very handy if it was a list, yes.
Marco, can I ask you perhaps to help us with that at this stage?
Sure, no problem at all. The only thing with the list, we have to know the name of an administrator of the list, because I imagine that you would like to have a list which is confidential only for members of the review team. So I imagine you don't want staff to be on the list. So just organize by yourself, let us know the name of a person who will act as an administrator of the list, and we'll set up in 1 hour.
Okay, well, I'm going to nominate Yanis for that.
I would have said the selectors, but anyway.
I'm happy to cede all authority in such matters to temporary authority, of course, until there's a chairman who can take over. I suppose the other thing is what I suggest we operate, if we could try and operate on a kind of a process that the board operates on, which is within 24 hours of a meeting, a short note should come out, just covering at a high level what the topics that were discussed were. And then there's a longer period for formal minutes to be agreed. And then if somebody wants to, they can actually go to a full fuller transcript of discussions.
Mm.
But I'll include that in the note about that in the procedures discussion. People want to know very soon after we've had a call what was discussed, but they accept that minutes take some time to produce.
I agree.
Any other general topics? All right, well, let's go back to what I think we've agreed, and then perhaps we can wrap up. We've got a meeting date agreed for Los Angeles for the first week of May. We've got a number of discussion threads starting to emerge, at least three. The methodology indicators and the terms of reference, and another one, so that's four, on procedures and practices and rules. When would be a good time to have a follow-up conference, another teleconference like this between now and then? 2 weeks from today? Give everyone time to come off mute.
Oh.
Can we do it on Monday, the 31st?
Anybody objecting to a conference call? Is that 2 weeks from today? 2 weeks from today, Cheryl?
No, sorry, I was in a month ahead, my error.
It's the
26th.
The question I have is whether that's going to give us enough time to sort of formulate the questions for the staff with respect to sort of what we want to hear from them about in Marina Del Rey. And, and I do think it's important that we give them, that we agree among ourselves as to what the priorities are and then give staff the time they need to prepare. So, so I wonder whether, you know, we could propose something too close, but something more like the 21st or the 22nd, which is 10 days, knowing that, you know, one of the focuses of the first sort of informal exchange is a what do we want to hear from the staff about? And I would undertake to sort of circulate a kind of thought question error piece in the next day or two to have people respond to that. But I want to make sure we give staff what they need.
Becky, that's a good thought, because I just push back gently a little bit about that. First of all, until we've said a lot on the methodology and the terms of reference, it's a bit hard to know what to ask them. For example, are we going to ask them questions going back 10 years or 5 years or 3 years or 1 year is the first question. And secondly, picking up Larry's sort of point, we're actually going to have people with specific expertise conducting what may be audits or examinations in detail of some of these topics. So this is not the only opportunity, and it certainly couldn't be at the time available, a very deep sort of dive into any of these activities.
Oh, yeah, so I agree. I think it has to be fairly high level, but I do think, you know, this is kind of the opportunity for the staff to tell us how they have been thinking about this, how they have been approaching this, give us the frame. So I don't think that the questions are detailed down into the, you know, the board said on X date, and when did it get done? It's really more a high level. But I still think if I was the staff, I would want the time to think about this and formulate it in a way that reflects, because often, you know, we go along and we do things and we haven't quite articulated what we're doing, although there's a method to the madness, but they need the time to articulate it.
I agree. I guess I was just thinking that we don't need quite so much time. The questions can't be quite so detailed as they may be perhaps later on. And that, I guess, for this visit, it may be that for many people, high-level descriptions of processes, descriptions of who does what, and, you know, high-level organograms and diagrams, and here's how we see the picture.
But also things like, you know, what documents do you refer to when you're thinking about this? What are the sort of formative documents that the staff uses? Because obviously that's going to inform our methodology as well. So, no, I'm not proposing detailed questions at all. I do think there's value in just a who does what sort of organization perspective. But I would like to know sort of how they think about the accountability tasks and what their reference points are.
Well, I just went into that, Becky, because of the time issue. If we had a conference call on the 26th and agreed on a set of questions and we got them on the 27th, they would have then over a week
respond.
And I think in terms of if we agree that we're not asking those questions that you said we weren't going to be asking, you know, when did the board decide this and how long after that did this happen, I would have thought 7 or 8 days was enough time for the answers to the high-level questions that we are talking about.
Okay, that's fine. That's just a point to raise.
Good one. Thank you for that. Does anybody want to comment on that? What we were looking at was whether the 26th would be a suitable time for a call, and we've agreed that in relation to asking the staff questions, it may do. Are there any other issues about the 26th?
The same thing.
Yana.
I have it on my calendar in front of me, but technically it should be okay. I'll make sure that I can be on the call.
Thank you. Is there someone else wanting to say something?
Willie.
Thank you, Willie.
I think it might well be worth having a thread along the lines Becky says, even if we don't, you know, only get to it by the 26th.
Absolutely. Yes, I agree. Let's start that so that we've got a set of questions ready to agree on the 26th, which means working on them before then. Absolutely. All right. Well, I think we can probably call it a successful meeting and bring it to an end. We've got a next call date. We've got a next meeting date, and we've got a series of work ideas to get on with in the meantime. Does anybody want to add something?
Thanks.
Will we be looking at, sorry, Cheryl here, we'll be looking at the same time on the 26th. We don't need to redoodle, we're just doing the same time a fortnight hence, correct?
I can do that, but let's agree online if there's anybody got a problem with the same time.
That's the best time if we want to cover the whole world.
Yeah.
Apologies to Louis.
You're doing it this time or an hour hence, you're looking at 12 hours plus, and that's not friendly for some people, so...
Again, the usual rule that I've adopted and I can for years has been to roll meetings forward by 8 hours each time, so that every three meetings you get back to your start time, and it means that you share the pain across the time zones. Marco, could I ask you to have a look at that? I appreciate that Louis is suffering with a very early start today. Could I ask you to have a look at what would be a way of sharing the pain? And I suggest the 8 hour rollover. The alternative is a 6 hour rollover, so it takes you four meetings to get back to your start time.
Okay.
But at this stage,
and Marco, when you do that, you probably need to just do a little explore with us as to what we think is a start and a stop time. For example, I prefer a 5 a.m. start than an 11 p.m. meeting.
Mm-hmm. Okay, no problem. We'll organize a doodle for this, so you can express your preferences for the selection of the time.
It depends on our own individual work practices. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Anyone else got to add something?
I think it would be useful to set up a dedicated email address, the group address for this review team.
For public input, you mean, Yannis? Cheryl.
No, just to communicate, not
yes,
all the time
yes.
to do.
Oh, you mean a list?
Reply to all, yep. But to do an email list.
Yannis, yep. Yannis, we agreed that we're going to do that, and you're going to be the administrator of it.
Okay, thank you. Looking forward.
I have some technical skills. Which is a titular, it's a responsibility, but you hopefully won't have to do anything, you won't have to get your fingers dirty typing any passwords. All right, well, look, I think that's all. If people have got more, let's include them on one of those threads, and by all means, feel free to suggest a new one. Thank you all. I think we'll call it a day. We're underway. Good work.
Thank you to the selectors and the chair.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you all.
Thank you.